This podcast is from heptagonclub.co.uk and paulcarenza.com. The Heptagon Club.
Heptagon Club.
Heptagon Club with Paul Carenza. 7 guests, 7 corners.
On this week's show...
Who didn't watch The Hurt Locker and think there's a sitcom in that?
How creepy it is when an axe irons their shirt backstage. They do it topless.
And when we addressed her, we had to say Miss Ross...
And your host,
Mr. Paul Carenza.
Welcome, podcast listeners. Thank you for joining us. Hello, Heptagon Clubbers. Clubbers sounds a little bit... It's not that sort of club. And if it's your first time listening, you are particularly welcome. We are back sooner than planned after a little break. We've had 7 episodes. We've had a little gap between the series because, as you can imagine, it takes a while to edit these things, put them together. But we're back because we do have a live show coming up. I will tell you some of the guests later in the episode, but we're very excited. It's a range of comedians, entertainers, writers, and all-round brilliant eggs, just the sort of people we normally have on this podcast. It's Sunday 23rd of April. London Marathon Day, in fact, and we will be in London, but North London. It's at the Bill Murray Pub, fantastic venue. It's home of the Angel Comedy Club. It's London N1 8NQ if you need to find it. It's only £5 for a ticket, and that is 2-for-1, so you can bring a friend. And indeed, that also gets you another live podcast thrown in. That's the Cheap Show Podcast, fantastic show. They've got a fab guest as well. It's angelcomedy.co.uk/live-podcast-night. It's also in the episode description of this episode. So, we had to come back with a mini-sode to mention this to you, to try and lure you down to the live show. So this is that mini-sode. I don't know if it's a mini-sode. I think it's a bit bigger than that. Well, it's bigger than a mini-sode. It's a demi-sode. It's, it's next up from a mini-skirt, whatever that is. Knee-length. It's a knee-length episode. But as rules dictate, we have 7 guests. We have to have that. So we're just going to have a snatchlet of each, and then more from each of our fab guests from this episode in the next full series of episodes, if that makes sense. So this is just a little stopgap to say hello to you.
So, Carl Donnelly. Hello. Welcome to the Heptagon Club. This is a 7-sided venue, as you can see.
Yeah.
So, A, please come to our live show. That would be fantastic. Book tickets now. angelcomedy.co.uk. In fact, you can pause this now, go and buy and come back. That would be great. So, great. Hope you just got them. B, you can tell people, of course. In fact, if you could tweet the ticket link from this episode description, copy paste, if you hashtag HeptClubLive, H-E-P-T, Club Live, then one lucky winner who does that will receive some things. We'll have a bundle of comedy books and DVDs, and I will package up at least one of mine if you want it, and some others if you don't. And you could specify which you want, in particular if you've read any of mine already, whatever. I've got a couple of new ones out this year. You could wait and have one of those if you want. But anyway, if you want to win this big bundle of stuff, tweet the ticket link for the live podcast on April 23rd with the hashtag HeptClubLive. Tell your friends and you could win things.
But you are, you know, you are an award-winning comedian, which is very rare to find nowadays, so well done to you.
Is it rare to find? Aren't there more rewards?
Well, you're probably right. I say that. Yeah. I was trying to flatter you, but actually, you know, let's be honest.
First up, well, we have the 2017 UK Club Comic of the Year winner at the Chortle Awards. He's an Edinburgh Festival smash hit and a champion podcaster in his own right. This is Carl Donnelly.
We haven't gigged together for a long time.
It has been... I reckon it's 6 years.
It must be.
That would be a conservative guess.
Yeah. Your hair has changed considerably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah, it's gone.
It has, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Actually, it's
you know,
changed
I was thinking,
way.
Actually, please take this nicely.
No, absolutely.
But when we used to gig together, I used to think that your stage character and all that was sort of quite potentially on the geeky side a little
bit. Yeah.
And then now you are the coolest on the circuit, I would say. You know, I don't know. You've got a you wear it, you know, very coolly nowadays.
That's the thing. I think I always, I didn't think I looked like a nerd when I looked like a nerd.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I had big hair and big glasses, but I think in my head I thought I looked like some cool guy from the 70s.
Oh, definitely.
But I actually just looked like a nerd from the 70s.
Right, okay,
Or a nerd from now. That's the whole thing, isn't it? A lot of nerds sounds like a criticism, but what I mean
well,
is
it's
like,
a good,
it's like a hipster
it is,
nerd
it's good to
look.
Be. It's the age of the geek now, isn't it?
Yeah. So that geek look, I think it's just... Yeah, I thought I looked like that, but actually I was doing it at a time that predated the hipster revolution.
Yeah.
So I was just a nerd.
Yes. Yeah, so I was wondering if it's like... You seem to be like a reverse... Samson that you're, you know, where with the hair change came, did there come a change in style on the stage as well?
No. Was it sort of... I thought it's that thing. I've always changed how I look regularly. Like, right. Every 6 months, I get bored of every item of clothing that I own, and I'll just sort of go out and buy something else. And it's not a comedy related thing. This was pre-comedy. But I would go through phases where I'd wear just crazy shirts, and so I think it's just it's a psychological thing.
Right.
it's probably based in some low self-esteem.
Nice. Well, that's
some deep down somewhere. But yeah, there's never been a conscious thought of I wonder, should I dress like this to look like that on stage? Yeah. It's always how I want to dress during the day. And that's just how obviously.
And then you turn up.
I'd never I'm not one of these comics who gets changed in a dressing room.
You know what I mean? And then you're on, and it's like
the top. Somebody once did a really funny tweet about how creepy it is when an act irons their shirt backstage and they do it topless.
It's always slightly more awkward as well when there's a mixed bill. You know,
and it's never a young sort of whippersnapper of a comic. It's always a middle-aged, circuit stalwart.
Totally. Doing this like it's totally normal. And often the dressing room's within sight of the audience and you think they can see. It's not nice for anybody.
And also, why couldn't they have ironed that before they left the house? There we go.
I've seen a few do that. Iron the handkerchief as well.
What?
Which then goes into the pocket and does not appear for the entire...
Unnecessary.
It's a little bit of a...
If I see someone with a pocket square, I'm always thinking, I'm impressed they're wearing a pocket square. Right. I've never looked at a pocket square and gone, you could have run an iron.
I know, exactly. Yes, they're very rarely creased, aren't they, one of those pocket squares?
Often there's different styles of it. There's one, a very scrunched up style, is actually a type of... pocket square style.
Oh right.
So there's not just like the little bit sticking out.
Yeah.
There's one that's like a sort of flower. There's one that is just properly scrunched.
Yeah.
That's actually it. I've forgotten the name of it, but they've all got different names.
There's nice little origami versions of this. Yeah. Quite often if I'm in a restaurant carrying some drinks back from the bar or something and you've got your cutlery in there as well. It's tempting to leave that in all day as a look.
Yeah. Just a fork. Be that comic.
Yeah, that guy.
More from Carl and Nod, because we're going to keep the pace moving today. I'm only here to lure you down, as you know, to the Heptagon Club live Sunday 23rd at the Bill Murray Pub. Fantastic name. angelcomedy.co.uk for tickets. Now, our guests will include comedian Rob Thomas. We'll be doing 5 minutes of uber topical jokes. I don't mean jokes about trendy cab companies. I mean, it'll be on that day's news for his very own podcast. Rob Thomas's podcast is called The Bad Libel Podcast, and you can listen to that. That's him doing lots of very topical jokes very, very quickly. So do listen to that. We've got brilliant storyteller Becca Barron. We're probably looking at Marcel Lucan. Or Alexis Dubas, or whoever he turns up as. Such a fabulous act and a great guy. Hopefully he will be joining us. And I will tell you three more guests after the next one today here for you. Coming up, we've got writer and sitcom geek James Carey. But this is comedian turned political pundit. And you'll have seen him in the BBC Breakfast Sofa or the Sky News chair with that big picture of Big Ben in the background. This man is...
Eric.
Hello.
Eric McElroy.
How
are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah,
I catch you pre-gig.
Pre-gig, on my way to comedy, working. That's what you got
to
do.
You know,
I'm at a stage in my life now where my wife looks at me and says, "Why aren't you working tonight?" Versus "Why aren't you staying home with me?" It's a Friday. You should be working now.
Yes, so, exactly. So. Now, did you start gigging in this fine country, or did you start gigging in your own fine country?
I did. I started gigging in this fine country, and. I think my second ever gig, I met you. One of the early ones we met, very early on.
The start,
I did do drama degree, you know, back in the States. I did study, but then I had a proper job, and then I started doing stand-up here.
I see, so left the proper job to it.
Yeah,
so thank you.
Well, eventually.
Thanks for moving us over here.
Yeah, yeah. So allowed me to become an immigrant.
Excellent. Welcome to these. Well, you're here now.
I'm here now. And I've got a passport, so Brexit is pointless.
Exactly.
Get rid of me.
And speaking of Brexit, so you lately, particularly, I don't know when this started for you, you've been more of a commentator and a pundit and moving into a bit of...
Yeah.
I see you doing things, talking about things.
Doing things, yeah. I kind of found my way. I was always interested in politics, but not really talking about it a lot in my stand-up, and I just started to really dive into that full throttle about 4 years ago, and the first show, so I started going in that direction. I did a show about the Scottish referendum in Scotland,
right?
About a month before the referendum.
Okay.
Mixed successes.
And you're a Mac as well.
I'm a Mac. Yeah, I did have a Scottish connection, so we hyped that up in the
of
press
course
release.
You did.
Really strong Scottish heritage.
Yes.
A few hundred years back, yeah. And
I turn up and try and pick up on the accent.
No, I can't. But then the last 2 years, I really pushed on talking about U.S. elections because I knew I was, again, interested in it, but I also knew that it was going to come to kind of a head with the November election. Didn't realize it was going to be quite the election that it was, but sort of with a plan that, that would be, maybe I would get that call, that people would want to hear a funny-ish perspective on U.S. politics here.
Yeah.
And it's worked to an extent. And, again, unfortunately, Trump has helped with that. I mean,
yes.
His election was, because I wasn't going to do politics again this Edinburgh. Mm. I was going to I was trying to figure out what to do next, because I thought, nobody's going to care. Hillary's going to win, and I'll need to talk about something else. But then he won, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to do this again.
So Trump's gain is your gain?
His gain. It's why I voted
for
him.
Our loss is your... Okay,
no, I didn't. So, it's kept people engaged in it, for the wrong reasons. But it's fascinating. I mean, it's just... The number of times my jaw has dropped.
Mm. Do you have a crystal ball then? Prediction?
Well, no, because I didn't think that Brexit would happen. I didn't think that Trump would happen.
Do you think Trump will last the full term?
I find it would be amazing if he did. I mean, it would be exhausting. He's only been 70 days, and already we are, he has reached levels of unpopularity. I just saw a tweet about this that... that Obama never reached, and Obama was not popular with a big group of Americans, that took George W. Bush 2,000 days to achieve. George W. Bush was popular. Reagan hit this level of unpopularity once in 8 years, and he's done it in 70 days. So he said he was going to win something.
Well, that's something.
So it's
an achievement.
It's an achievement of a sort. But with the actual proper scandals and slash, a lot of times in American politics in particular, it's not what they do, it's covering it up. That's what got Clinton in trouble. The whole Monica Lewinsky scandal was about him lying about what his encounters. Yeah. If he had said from the beginning, yes, I fooled him around, then there would have never been an impeachment. It's because he lied about the affair. That was the problem. So right now we're seeing that with the whole Russian thing. So if somebody starts lying close to Trump, or Trump himself, then that's where we could really see him go.
Yes.
But his base is with him, and as long as that base is with him, that's all he needs to stay.
James Carey, welcome to the Heptagon Club.
Thank you very much.
Seven-sided venue with six other guests, like that one there. And
amazing.
Whoever that one's going to be.
Definitely, I'm so excited about that one.
So you are a writer.
I am.
And that's a great thing, because you are not a comedian slash writer, a writer slash performer, but a solid gold writer.
I am a writer, I'm not really a performer. I do perform, I have performed, I don't mind performing. It's just one of the things that I've learned through writing comedy in particular, is that almost everyone's better at it than me, especially actors. When you get a really good comedy actor and they come in and they'll just do it really well.
Some of them are really good, aren't they? You get
some
those
of them are
read-throughs
good.
And you go, oh yeah, this is good.
And they just That's pick funny. It up and get it all first time and find you bits that weren't there before. That's always my equation on a decent comedy actor. So any comedy actor, usually, there'll just be some lines that they just don't get. They don't time it, and you maybe try and direct it, but it just dies. Mm. The joke dies, So they'll maybe kill three of your jokes. Mm. But then a good comedy actor will find you six jokes that weren't even there, and people will assume were intentional on your part. Mm. So it's a net gain.
Yes.
So a good comedy actor is a net gain for me.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, it's and you've. I mean, well, of course, you are a great writer as well. Let me just say as well, you're not just a writer. You are indeed.
I gave you a cup of tea, and it seems to. It's a great.
It has definitely. No, but the fact that you worked on you write for other people.
I do.
And you write your own things.
I do
well,
write my own.
And
things.
They are funny, and they have made people laugh up and down this nation.
Yes.
For the last decade or two.
Let's not think too long, Hans.
No, let's not. So you've done Bluestone 4-2,
yep.
Not 4-2.
Correct, well done. Bluestone I can tell 4-2. You actually know the show.
There you go.
Yeah, I can always flush out the time wasters, you say.
Absolutely, yes, indeed. those people get the number wrong as well.
Absolutely.
Bluestone 14, something like that.
Yes, that's right.
So that was like the bomb disposal sitcom.
That was the obvious bomb disposal sitcom.
Absolutely.
That was simply waiting to be...
Indeed.
I mean, who didn't watch The Hurt Locker and think... There's a sitcom in there.
Totally.
Yeah. Very
little in the way of jokes.
No. And that's one of the reasons why we write the show is because we just thought that doesn't reflect the experience of Yes. British soldiers, at least, it's just all jokes.
Yeah.
That's all they're interested in, is gags.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, it was... The humour in there is very much army... It feels very real, doesn't it? It doesn't feel like you did a studio audience wacky version of an army thing there.
No,
it?
Exactly. We did talk to quite a lot of soldiers, and in the end, we tried to reflect their way of talking as much as we could, which also involves an awful lot of swearing, which obviously makes it quite tricky if, A, lots of your friends go to church, which they do in my case, and B, if your parents paid for an expensive education for you,
right.
Which mine did.
Yes.
So at one point, I think they might have been questioning we didn't spend all that money, so you could use language like that. To which I would say, I don't talk like that. No. That's how soldiers talk. It's my job to tell the truth. That's how...
And then some, I would expect. I expect they talk like that, and then...
Oh, yeah, we didn't have anywhere near as much swearing in the show as they swear. They just swear all the time.
Yeah.
They don't notice it. Yes. They just put F words in absolutely everything.
It's a bit like the comedy circuit. It's you know, it's the F count suddenly goes up considerably. Yeah.
Although actually, our military advisor felt quite at home because he said that on the set of the show, he hadn't heard swearing anywhere as much than the army as he did on the set of our show.
Oh, really?
It's just people off camera swearing all the time. He was
yes.
He was quite surprised.
Clearly getting into the mode of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The Heptagon Club.
Seven guests, seven corners. The Heptagon Club with Paul Carenza.
James Carey has a fantastic podcast called the Sitcom Geeks Podcast with Dave Cohen as well. That is well worth a listen if you are a sitcom geek fan, particularly if you're a sitcom writer. It's essential listening. Eric McElroy as well. More from him as well coming up. We will have them in future episodes, which will indeed include our live one. So if you can't make it to the live one, we will record it, ping it out to you. But how much better to be there? Only a fiver, and that's for two tickets. Sunday, 23rd of April, angelcomedy.co.uk for details. And tweet the ticket link to win a bundle of DVDs and books and stuff.
Hello, Robot Butler here. Just with news of other future guests we're urging for the live show. We're hopefully welcoming top comedian Robin Ince, and the amazing Tony Law, and broadcaster and physicist Dr. Helen Sersky.
A regular guest in series one of this podcast, that's QI Elf Stephen Colgan. He'll be bringing us some live historical trivia. Speaking of which, stand-up archaeologist Paul Duncan McGarrity. What a dude, and a fascinating angle, the only one of his kind. And also, speaking of the only one of his kind, how about Britain's only Orthodox Jewish comedian? Top comedy producer Ashley Blaker.
All hopefully at the live show, and soon on this podcast. More details on our Facebook group.
Sunday 23rd of April, you know the details. Do tweet the link, win things. Now, speaking of radio producers, as indeed Ashley Blaker is a fabulous one, here is another radio producer and presenter. She's on Premier Radio and has had a glittering career across all sorts of media, including being a backing singer for, well, I'll let her tell you. This is the amazing Loretta Andrews.
My first ever gig at, I think, 18 years old, my first professional gig, was doing backing vocals for Sting and All Saints. Do you remember All Saints?
Of course I remember All Saints, absolutely. A few questions that I need to know.
That's it.
Yeah.
They did, it was one of the early Brit Awards. I won't even name the year, because then you'll know how old I actually am.
No need.
By saying All Saints kind of gives it away.
Well, there's clues.
We were doing backing vocals for them. And so it was at Alexandra Palace.
Okay.
So quite a big gig for my first ever one. Very young, very nervous, but it was an amazing, amazing experience.
Yes.
The one with Diana Ross was on a TV show. We often used to do backing vocals for artists on shows, and it was on a chat show. Mm. I remember it because our dressing room was next to hers, and she asked for us all to be moved. We weren't allowed to make any noise at all. And when we addressed her, we had to say Miss Ross. We weren't allowed to say Diana.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you'd have thought, I mean, obviously, as the TV viewer, you're watching it going, oh, they're all, you know, they're all being in the bar afterwards, or they're all chummy,
well,
and they go around together.
Interesting, because some of the artists that you thought would be very diva-ish just weren't. So, for example, when my own band with my twin... we supported Take That on their beautiful world tour. So it was when they reformed.
Yeah. Okay, yes, yeah. So there were four of them.
Then there were four.
But
they were brilliant. I mean, my sister used to vocal coach Jason, so she already had a relationship there. But they would hang out with us. Mm. We would go out with them. That was really relaxed. Great. And obviously that was second time round for them. They kind of knew the fame game. I kind of did let Diana off the hook, though. Miss Ross.
Miss Ross, of course. She's not here, don't worry.
Because she is a complete legend, you know.
Of course.
My parents were fans of her. Yeah. So if you're a fan of Soul, you've got to be a fan of her. So kind of let... I'd probably be disappointed if she wasn't a diva.
Well, you need a bit of that, don't you? Yeah. If she was down the bingo hall and come on, everybody, it wouldn't quite... That's not Diana Ross, is it?
Exactly.
That's a tribute act, isn't it? That's Ross Diana, that is, you know,
We've got a few more guests to fit into this mini-sode, which, as I've made painfully clear, is actually just here to urge you down to our live show of Stand Up and Tales. Basically, there's another podcast being recorded the same night, the Cheap Show podcast, and they might get all of their listeners to come and get all the seats. So I want you, dear listener, if you're within reach of London, to get the tickets for Sunday, 23rd of April, only a fiver, two podcasts, two for one, all that stuff. It's only £1.25 per person per show. We've underpriced it, let's be honest. Anyway, right here, right now, it's Israeli comic, translator and journalist extraordinaire, Daphna Barham.
I'm finishing translating the book, I'm running around, and
What are you translating?
Oh, crime novel.
Oh, brilliant.
Very exciting. A guy called Robert Grinsam.
Okay.
He's got this detective. I like her a lot because she's a bit like me, she's an immigrant. Right. Yeah, I love that job, it's a great... Yeah. I think generally my thing is negotiating knowledge. In a way,
right.
So I enjoyed editing. I enjoyed translating.
Yes.
There's always some kind of cultural black spot that you don't see.
Yeah.
So sometimes they have some phrase, and sometimes people are like, "Oh wow, this is brilliant! It's unbelievable that somebody uses second languages." And sometimes I completely mess it up because I just didn't get something about it.
Yeah, the little nuances and all that sort of
stuff. Or I think it sounds really ooh, and actually people are like, whatever.
So when did you come over from Israel then?
2002.
Okay.
I came to do a fellowship in Oxford. I was news editor in a newspaper in Jerusalem, and deputy editor in chief of that newspaper, and it was a really tough time to do that job in Jerusalem. I mean, everything was exploding, and it was a suicide bombing time, and it was a lot of Israeli bombings in the West Bank, a lot of racism in the streets, but also mainly the experience of getting up every morning, getting on public transport, and not knowing if you'll come back.
Of course,
it was a weird experience.
Let alone the job itself, which is, of course, then
and the job itself is quite gory,
topical.
You basically feel like you're personally, scraping bits of bodies from trees.
Right.
Which is more like, but mainly it's running a team of correspondents, about 15 of them, all very young, most of them very young, very good. They were very good. But it's like, you had to send them to bombing sites and then to people's families and to funerals and to the police and to the occupied territories and to...
Yeah, wow.
So it was... I feel like I was way more of a grown-up back then, 15 years ago.
That's about as far from comedy as you can get, isn't it, really?
Yeah. And then it was human rights lawyer. I was representing Palestinians and Palestinians in military court. I kind of started out sometimes I say, I guess proper person back in the day.
With the big jobs.
Yeah, it was a big hope.
And now it's the playground. Wow.
So that was, I came here. I remember that feeling, my first day in Oxford. I went on a bus and I was sitting on the bus and I was just looking around me. I mean, you got on a bus in Jerusalem in those days, people were praying on the bus. They were sitting on the bus and they were just saying their prayers.
Wow.
I wasn't, because I'm an atheist, so I was just like, hoping that their prayers would work.
Right, okay, they'll do it on your behalf. Yeah.
I didn't want to approach God directly, I thought. And there you just go, people just, get on the bus, don't talk to each other, never look each other in the eye, this is best policy, but in a friendly way. And nobody's going, who's that guy? Why has he got a jacket? What are these strings coming out of there? Are they strings? Is it not too warm to wear a jacket anyway? What's going on? Let me just get off this bus now.
Yeah.
Which is what people, it was like that. And they, walk into a theatre, or to Marks and Spencer's or whatever, and I would go with my bag, the front of me, so that people could check it, and nobody was checking it, and I was doing what a lot of people who come from war zones do. I was planning bombings in the way that I was walking into things, and I was like, oh, this should be just easy. I mean, anybody could just do. I wasn't going to bomb anywhere, but I was just thinking, this would be pretty simple.
Okay, so you're thinking in your head,
I'm not going to, but if I were to.
And then 2005 happened, the 7-7 bombings, and I was
And so you were here then?
I was here. I was actually, I was living in London by then.
Right.
I was living in Hackney, and my mum called me, and it was weird, because suddenly the calls started coming in the other direction. People from Israel are calling me to ask if I was okay, and my mum accusing me of turning myself into an easy prey. She always does that. She's like, did it happen in your neighborhood? And I went, no, this is nowhere near my neighborhood. And she's like, you're a liar. I saw that was bus number 30. This goes to your neighborhood. It said Hackney Wick on the top. And I was like, yeah, but it was going in the other direction. I wasn't there.
Yeah, it's left your house.
So yeah, it's a bit like that.
So she's been on Google, done a bit of research.
She knows her, but it's just weird because I don't know what to worry about.
If you've heard our previous 7 episode, A, thank you, and B, you will know that some of our favourite guests are just chums of mine mucking around. So, right here, for your pleasure, John Sands and Owen Sims.
Quick fire. I mean, quick fire.
Naysayer, soothsayer, Leo sayer. Which two are you a combination of? If you had a choice of being negative, prophetic, or 70s singer, then which two most sums you up?
There was a singer called Leo Sayer.
70s singer? A little bit,
I know one Leo Sayer song.
Right. So he's just like a happy little fellow.
Was it Thunder in Your Heart?
That's right.
Yes, that's the only one, right? And then...
But probably, are you like that and a big negative?
Naysayer, yeah. I'd want to say soothsayer, but I think that's...
I'd be a naysaying soothsayer.
Just say words.
A naysaying soothsayer.
The rune says it's going to rain tomorrow, but it's not raining.
So, I'm surprised Parkinson never had any of these questions.
And that, good listener, makes 7 guests. 7 more await you next time on the audio podcast, which we may have one out before the live show, but probably more likely it will be June, July that we are back for a fuller series. So I might get one more out in late April. We will see. But I've got a funny feeling that the live podcast will be taking up much of our time in the foreseeable. I'm touring my new live show as well, mostly around London, to be honest. It's called Navelless Gazing, and I'm touring it with Rob Thomas, who you can see at our live podcast. We'll do more info on that mini tour, our knee-length tour, on future podcasts in the summer. But here are some dates for now. Tuesday 9th of May, we're at the Miller at Elephant and Castle. You can get tickets if you look online at my Facebook page. Sunday 18th of June, we're at the Cav in Stockwell. And on Thursday 20th of July, I'm at Guildford Fringe, just myself. And then I'm also at Camden Fringe. And then back with Rob at the Museum of Comedy in September. More details on those soon. If you want to come to the Miller, I would particularly recommend that one. Tuesday 9th of May. That is on the soon side. So that is at the Elephant and Castle. But for right now, though, it's all about the live podcast show. Sunday 23rd of April. You know the details. Tweet them. Win things. Buy tickets. See you there. Oh, and also, Eric McElroy, our political correspondent, does have a live show. He wants to mention two.
So we've got a show the 27th of April that'll be celebrating... celebrating 100 days of Trump.
Okay, right. Okay.
So we'll have some comics and do a bit of panel, and I've got a Republican coming down to try and dive in. So I'm trying to do some one-off shows like that to try and, just keep the conversation going.
27th of April. Where's that?
It's at... It's what was the Invisible Dot.
Which part of London is that?
North London, King's Cross.
King's Cross.
Yeah, it'll King's be... Cross. I'll be tweeting about it and stuff. King's Cross. And everything else. So, yeah.
Brilliant.
Thanks.
Well, thank you.
So there you have it. Thank you to our episode's guests. And forgive our sporadic appearance. This is a one-off, but we'll be back for more regular shows soon enough. Do keep in touch. I'm at Paul Carenza on Twitter. You can find the Heptagon Club Facebook page. We hope to see you on the 23rd of April. If this is in the far future, then apologies for the blatant plugging throughout of something that's actually been in the past. If you're in the far reach of the capital, you're not able to make it.
Hey, has anybody said to you today?
Do help us out by rating us on
your
iTunes.
Love has made the world a better place.
Telling your friends on social
you
media.
Look positively beautiful in your blue jeans.
About this audio collection of words.
It doesn't matter what you wear.
And we'll see you very soon
for, me,
for more words from different people.
Because you're the best thing.